Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Folks, we bring in Michael Heck from a parking lot near you. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Newell. I do believe that was Queen Latifah on the intro track there.
I believe you're right. But only Coleman would know.
And Sheriff and I'm, and agree.
and I'm sure you produced that. As you do everything.
Well, you know, we were going through it, and we were deciding which other Queen Latifah hits, like Ladies First. We thought that really wouldn't be appropriate here. So we thought that track was UNITY Unity, and we thought that was a nice, warm way to welcome this interview segment.
No doubt. Michael, great time the other night roasting and slaying you, and you slaying each and every one of us. But it was a great cause, scholarships for students to attend Delgado, raising $225,000 the other evening. Great success. Great work, my friend.
Well, thank you. No, I mean, thank you so much for taking the time to be there, for making yourself vulnerable up on stage in front of what was, hey, oh, wait. And look, there's a lot of vulnerability involved in the Delgado Roast
All
of us. But it was a record crowd. And, you know, no, it wasn't. I just thought that it was just like the mood was good. People, I think, were happy to be there doing it for such an important institution like Delgado.
No, absolutely. And the folks from Delgado, wonderful people. They did a great job as well, pulling all of that together. And it was, people from all over. That's what I loved about it. I mean, I had a chance to see a lot of folks I hadn't seen in a long time.
Yeah, it did feel like a bit of a reunion. And I think what I love about Delgado is, you know, it gets characterized as a two-year school, as a technical and training college. But the reality is that it's an institution whose fundamental mission is to allow people to transform their lives. And so I thought one of the most interesting stats of the night that I got from Chancellor Littleton Stibe is that the average age at Delgado is 28. So this is people who are not necessarily, you know, just coming out of high school. The youngest student at Delgado is 14, and the oldest right now is 86. So it really is a school for everybody. My wife just took classes there recently as a prereq for doing her PhD. And so it was a good cause for which to be humiliated. I've been humiliated for much, much less.
I have to say, your staff had a lot of fun. I think they enjoyed every second of it.
Well, they did because as far as I could tell from the material, they were incredibly indiscreet in terms of leaking information, photos, anecdotes. I was looking at the video that Congressman Carter sent in, and I'm like, how did he get those photos? Like, they could have only come from, but my parents were in on it. So, no, it was everybody's chance to get at me publicly, and all I can say is that people shouldn't take my kindness for weakness. It might be a smile, look like a smile, but it's a grimace, and we'll remember everybody. Actually, I saw Troy Carter last night at an event, and I thanked him for sending in the video. I mean, look, he couldn't make it because he was held up in D.C. doing votes on Ukraine, Taiwan, Israel, and TikTok, basically the biggest issues in the free world. And I just want to say for the record on the radio, I was actually with Steve Scalise yesterday too, that I want to give credit to Congress for coming together in a bipartisan way under Mike Johnson's true leadership to do the right thing for not just the United States, but for the country. And, you know, I think it was an act of wisdom and patriotism that that Representative Johnson did what he did and brought everybody together and just realized that if we don't do things like stopping Putin now in Ukraine, it's going to create many bigger problems for us later. So I just want to give credit to our congressional delegation, and particularly Mike Johnson, Steve Scalise, and Troy Carter for their leadership.
Absolutely. Michael, we are, as you put, halftime with the legislature. A lot of very important bills making their way through the process. Let's start with ports. Where do we stand?
So ports, Representative Mark Wright has a bill, which I think is going to pass through, that's going to create the Louisiana Ports and Waterways Investment Commission. But basically, it's going to be an entity that's going to move our ports towards greater coordination in terms of who does what, how the funding is allocated. And so this is not consolidation, but it is coordination, which is an important step in the right direction for us, really maximizing the value of our deep water ports.
Yeah, it's going to – and I think there's really a grassroots effort to bring all the ports together and really align in their activities, recognizing that that's the best way for them to compete against other ports, right?
I think there's two things that are happening. I think folks have finally woken up to the fact that the Port of Mobile, after 20 years of focused investment, has surpassed us in container traffic, which is, you know, an existential threat to our trade business. And I think also the reality is that people in the port community are coming to see that now that the governor is talking about it, the legislature is talking about it, groups like GNO Inc., the World Trade Center, Louisiana Board of International Commerce are talking about it, that either they need to organize themselves proactively or they're going to be organized. And so I think they're stepping up to take some control in their own self-interest.
Yeah, I'm very encouraged by that effort, and I think it will lead to great results. A lot of bills dealing with the city of New Orleans, more importantly, Sewage and Water Board, both from a governance perspective, from billing and everything else. House Bill 524 by Willard, that's an interesting bill. It says you, in other words, they can't bill unless they actually read a meter.
Yeah, no, I love Matt Willard's bill. It has this pretty groundbreaking idea that the Sewer and Water Board should bill on actual readings, and so we're gonna trial that concept. No, I mean quite seriously, Noel. The so much of the problems that we're seeing in our billing is because they've been using this estimate system because we haven't had automatic meters in. There aren't enough meter readers. Some of the meters are broken. And that's just created a problem and exacerbated it. So going back and saying we're going to bill people on actual readings, which also puts pressure to get the automatic meters in, is probably the right retrenchment. And so this is just one of those real, I mean, calling it common sense feels like a drastic understatement, but common sense reforms that I think will help increase trust in Sewer and Water Board, which in turn will lead to the ability to increase the, you know, the needed funding down the road.
There's another bill that you bring to the forefront, one that I'm not familiar with and did not hear about, House Bill 609 by Furman, by Representative Furman.
Yeah. This is another one of the bills that is it specifically is meant to create standards around appraisers and umpires. And this is an effort to calm down the litigation that we tend to see in Louisiana at heightened rates around insurance appraisals by basically saying here are the standard ways that an insurer or a mediator will determine how much damage has been done to a structure and therefore how much an insurer should pay. And the reason for this is that without clarity around that, it increases the prevalence of bad faith lawsuits, where an insured feels like they're getting underpaid. And so we're just trying to create more clarity around who gets paid for what when, so that things can be done in an expeditious way for people who need the money, but that also we have fewer lawsuits on the back end.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see where that goes. Michael, a bill that is, a lot of folks are talking about is House Bill 800 by Bolu that would start a constitutional convention in May. Here we are just, I guess, about 20 days right now, getting close to that period of time, maybe a little, about 25 days. Still no agenda for this, which I find very disheartening.
Yeah, I've been trying to understand, you know, what the chances are of the Constitutional Convention happening, or whether it's just kind of a headline, so whether it's a con-con or a con-con-con. My current sense is that it actually does have a reasonable chance of happening, and that's because the way that it's currently being described, its fundamental purpose is going to be take the 48 constitutionally dedicated funds. So these are funding streams that are in the Constitution every year that cannot be changed by the legislature, and moving them to statute so that they could be changed by the legislature. And that would, my understanding, potentially free up about $9 billion. The importance of that is that there are two major fiscal issues that we are facing. One is the additional sales tax that was put in years ago to prevent us from going off a fiscal cliff is going to expire. So we either have to keep that sales tax, which gives us one of the highest sales taxes in the country, which isn't great. It's regressive. It looks bad. Or we have to fund that. On the flip side, there also is this continuing move to try to reduce our income taxes to get us to look more like Texas or Florida. In either case, there's going to have to be money coming from somewhere to make up the deficit. And so that's the idea here, is to give us flexibility to address that.
Interestingly, Senator Pat Connick sent me survey results that he just completed in District 8, his Senate district, and 53% of the respondents support making that temporary sales tax permanent, which surprised
me. That's surprising.
With that. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GN. Welcome back, folks. We are visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc., and also self-anointed and self-promoted once and future king of energy. In a guest column featured in The Advocate on Friday, CEO Michael Heck shared how Louisiana can have it all in energy production. You have no shame.
No, I mean, I lost my shame along with my self-respect years ago, Newell. It's just so much easier. But and that was very Bob Barker of you. I love that intro, the intonation. It was good. I got it. Come on down. To be clear, I was actually talking about Louisiana, not myself. I'm just a pauper. Louisiana is the king. Look, we've been the king of energy since John Meacham founded the Saints back in the late 60s, and their colors were made black and gold because he was an oil man, and so it was black gold. But this editorial, I think it's actually incredibly important. I wrote it on a Southwest flight after two gin and tonics at 11 o'clock at night, coming back from a energy conference in Houston. So it was all heart, no brain. But the point, I think, is right, which is that there's this energy transition that is coming. It's projected to be between $3 and $5 trillion of investment by 2030. And the reality is that Louisiana is arguably better positioned to lead at it and create tens of thousands of jobs than any place in the country. We've got the history and the know-how. We've got the geology for things like carbon capture. And our political leadership, which goes back to, you know, Governor John Bel Edwards, now it's continuing with Governor Landry, understands the economic opportunity in this. And so you can look at the numbers. We've already created close to 6,000 jobs in energy transition. We've got another 10,000 in the hopper. That would be about a 20% increase in our total energy employment. And we're seeing it across the board. We're seeing it in legacy industries like oil exploration in the Gulf. I was down yesterday at the LNG facility in Plaquemines, Venture Global, the biggest investment in human history, private investment, $21 billion. It's stunning. We've got tens of billions of dollars in carbon capture that's coming online. We're now hosting the biggest offshore wind convention in the world, led by people like Shell and RWE out of Germany. We're going to be the supply chain for offshore wind for the rest of the country. We have a massive solar panel manufacturing facility out in New Iberia. We have battery manufacturing happening. We're making airline fuel out of French fry oil. Collectively, Noel, it's pretty real, and this is the place it should happen. And so when I look at our population loss going back, you know, acutely to 2016, but really to the 80s, I kind of think that us being the once-in-future king of all of the above, lower carbon energy, I think it's the place we can really make it happen. So that's my line.
No, and absolutely. And you got to change with the times, right? I mean, it doesn't mean that we want to minimize oil or natural gas, for that matter, here
at all.
But recognize that there are emerging technologies and emerging opportunities always, right?
It's about diversification and about serving all the needs around the globe so we can create economic opportunity here and geopolitical stability abroad. And this is the place that it's happening. So I think it's an incredibly exciting opportunity. And most of all, it's going to mean – I was down in the Venture Global facility. I said yesterday, people there with just a high school education are making $100,000 building that facility. And that facility is bringing stability to Europe and cleaner energy around the world. I hate to end a segment with a win-win-win, but it's a win-win-win.
Well, I'll screw that up for you because I was going to ask you where you're going to be appearing as DJ El Camino tomorrow evening.
Well, that's exciting. Tomorrow, so we actually have the Louisiana Future Energy House. So there's going to be a set that's going to go from 7 to 9. We're going to have our energy partners from around the world, from Denmark, from Japan, are all going to be there. And so I encourage people to come out. Our Jazz Fest house is at 2864 Ponce de Leon Street, right outside the market. We've got beer, we've got bathrooms, and we got beats. That's a win-win-win.
There's no limit to where you'll go to embarrass oneself, right?
I mean, no, there's so many things that I can do a poor job at. It's truly, yeah, it's a lot to grasp.
Hope to see you out of
Jack. Millimeters deep and miles wide, like an oil spill.
I hope to see you out of Jazz Fest, my friend. Really enjoyed the conversation today. Have a great weekend.
As well. Thanks again for Friday night, Noel. Appreciate you.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.